somebody and say, how should we live? You know, this is a little loud, you can turn it down a little bit. You know, as we look around our world, we see people living in different ways, amen? And some of the ways people are living, I really don't think I want to do that. I want to talk to you about the age of shattered absolutes. Absolutes are based on the truth, and the truth is always the same, no matter what circumstance or situation or generation. The same truth that was in the days of Jesus applies today. Amen. There are natural absolutes like the law of gravity, and that hasn't changed. How many know the law of gravity hasn't changed? I mean, when I come down the stairs at night or in the morning and it's still dark, I'm very careful. How many are very careful if you have stairs? In fact, I bought these lights to put on the top step and the bottom, and they come on automatically when you walk by a motion detect, you know, because at nighttime, I don't like going down the stairs in the dark. But the law of gravity is still the same. There's still an absolute truth about that. And we're living in a time, and we try to define everything that's happening. We're trying to define the situation, but the reality is we are living in a generation that have shattered the absolutes that God put in place. Romans chapter 1 and verse 20, I'm going to read that. But before I do, I'm going to read this quote here. Here is a simple but profound truth. If there are no absolutes by which to judge society, the society is absolute. Society is left with one man or an elite filling the vacuum left by the loss of Christian convictions and values, which originally gave us form and freedom. And what that's saying is, if we don't have absolutes, then a person or an elite group will form the absolutes for us. The problem with that is, some of those absolutes are not based on truth. And Paul said this in Romans 1 and verse 20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Amen. Bless your word tonight, Lord. The Bible says that God's power and the invisible things that have visible now show that God is in charge. But God not only created things, he put truth into motion. We live in a time where people are trying to establish their own absolute. That's why Paul said in verse 25, he said, they changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. How can you change God's truth into a lie? The only way you can do that is come up with your own absolutes. And those absolutes are not based on what God said. They're based on what man thinks. We live in a generation today that really has forsaken the absolutes of God. And they don't apply anymore. That's old school. That's old fashioned. What do you mean, one man and one woman being married? Really? Well, I don't have to do that. I know a lot of Christians and people that live together, they're not married. You see, that's what Paul's saying here. They're trying to change the truth into a lie that's wrong. And that's one of the reasons not only did the Roman Empire fall, but every nation that has fallen, it's because they got rid of the truth and people were believing the lies. Just look at what happened with Germany and Hitler. How that Hitler set himself up as absolute, not only absolute power, but absolute truth. He said, listen, you need to follow me. Do you know that Hitler went to all of the churches in Germany when he first took over? He wasn't as evil. He went to all the churches and promised them, you know, safety and everything. And do you know a lot of the churches in Germany bought into that?
In fact, Hitler made a flag with the sign there with a cross in the middle to give to all of those churches. And so he convinced those churches that he was absolute. But what he did later is he said, I want all the names of the Jewish people that go to your church. Some of them backed up. Others, if they didn't, they were killed. You see, without God's truth, absolute power can totally, totally be corrupted without God. That's a very good example, I think. Now look at Acts chapter 17, verse 16. Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons and in the market daily with them that met him. Verse 18. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him. And some said, what will this babbler say? And others, some, he seemeth to be a setting forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. Wow. Paul was down there in the marketplace, and these two philosophers, Epicureans and Stoics, came. And isn't it interesting, the first thing they said is, what is this babbler going to say? Wow. The word babble means to say things without any meaning. You know, the philosophies of this world have set themselves up against the truth of God. And I can't tell you how many young people today go into colleges as believers, as churchgoers, as worshipers, and how many are coming out having exalted philosophy. Why do you think, when you look around the church, where are the college kids? They have been so integrated into the system of philosophy that God is either an option or he's not relevant today. Change the truth of God into a lie. Now, we are living in what I call the age of non-reason. The Epicureans and the Stoics, with their philosophy, introduced a way of thinking that has led us to our worldview. You know, you hear that a lot about with young people. Well, this is my worldview. How many have heard that? This is the worldview. Well, that's true. It's a worldview, not a God view. This mindset declares that a person can authenticate himself by an act of their will. It believes that everyone should abandon reason in a purposeless world where one can choose their own reality. We are living in an age of non-reason. In other words, you can't reason with people today. You can't convince them about the truth. They don't want to hear it. Now, interesting, the Epicureans, they believed the world was not made by any deity or with any design, wow, but came into its being and form through a complex concourse of atoms, various sizes and magnitude, which met and jumbled and cemented together, and so formed the world. And that the world is not governed by the providence of God. Boy, does that sound like today? Interesting. To me, it takes more faith to believe that than to believe in a creator. I mean, how foolish that is. But the Stoics, they believe there is one God, and that the world was made by him, but is governed by fate, not by God. They believe that personal happiness is the greatest virtue. Also, there is no real evil in the world, and that a wise and a good man is one whose passion is always to be in a state of happiness and pursue that happiness at every cost or any cost. Now, these two are kind of opposite, and I kind of feel like we are more into the Stoics philosophy today, that everything is about my happiness, that I'm going to pursue everything to be happy. And I understand that concept. We want to be happy. Amen. But God has something more than happiness. It's called joy. Amen. So these two philosophies have invaded our world, invaded our life, invaded our generation. So how should we live? How can we live in this type of environment. Well, we need to get back to this reality that all of our reason must be based on truth, not philosophy. You know, the results of falsehood, the results of this is Judges 21:25. In those days, there was no king in Israel, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Jesus is our king, so we have truth. People today are doing whatever is right in their own eyes. They want to kill somebody, it's right in their own eyes. They want to burn down buildings, it's right in their own eyes. They want to abort babies in 9 months, it's all right to do that. You see, we live in a time where, like the judges, every man's doing what's right. Well, I understand the sinful nature, but somewhere we must come back to the absolute, which is the Word of God, and find out what is true and what is just and what is holy. Amen. Proverbs 23:23 says, "Buy the truth and sell it not, also wisdom, instruction, and understanding." I begin to think about that. How do you buy the truth? Well, when you buy something at the store, it's an exchange program. You exchange money for the goods. So as a believer, I must be willing to every once in a while realize I might be believing something that's not totally accurate. I cannot wake up in the morning and thinking that every dot is there and I've got every line crossed. I totally believe everything that's true. I don't think anybody's arrived at that yet. So we've got to have an exchange program. When I'm sitting in the congregation and the Word of God is taught or preached, even things that I believe that are good can be an enemy of that which is best, which is truth. You know, sometimes people believe that Christians are just nice people and they always do good and they're always, you know, they're just kind of a sweet person and everything. They never have any righteousness to show other people. But guess what? The truth is we are to be bold as a lion. We are to be out there telling people about the realities of heaven. Buy the truth, don't sell it. How many people have come to the house of God over the thousands of years, heard the truth, and went out and sold it, went out and exchanged it for something? But the Bible tells us that there's three elements of truth that I need. Number one, I need wisdom. I can't get wisdom from philosophy. I can't live a life of wisdom before God if it's based on anything that's not absolute truth. The second thing is, I need instruction. How many know that instruction is really important in our lives? You know, the Bible says that Abraham went out and he did not know where he was going. But finally, God brought him to a place, gave him a son, and God said, "You know, Abraham, go and sacrifice your son." And the Bible says that Abraham obeyed. You know, the bottom line of our Christian life is, do I have an obedient heart and spirit? Do I have a heart that can be instructed? You know, until we go to heaven, we always were going to need instruction, amen? And you know what? It's pretty easy to discern somebody if they have an obedient spirit. You know, we're so far down the road in the body of Christ to try to compel people to come, compel people to serve, compel, would you? Listen, I'm looking for people with obedient spirits, and I always check my heart. God, am I obedient? Am I submitted to those I'm supposed to be? God, I can't preach obedience if I'm not obedient. But you know, if you want to grow in God, be able to take instructions. You and I don't know it all yet, amen. Be willing. God doesn't promote people that can't be taught. God doesn't promote people that can't take instructions. David took instructions from his father Jesse, take up 10 cheeses. He didn't say, "Well, I'll take some turkeys instead." And because of that, God promoted him. The only reason I'm standing here today, because somewhere I allowed God to put an obedient spirit in me, that I wasn't going to talk against authority. I wasn't going to talk about my pastor. I wasn't going to rebel. I wasn't going to complain. I wasn't going to talk about the church. And I just got away from all those people that did that. They're nowhere today. And I decided I'm going to get in my prayer closet because I want God to use me. If you want God to promote you, it's not going to be just because I show up. It's because He can look in your heart and see someone that really wants to obey. Someone who really knows how to pick up the cross. Amen. Listen, there's a price to pay for the anointing. There's a price to pay for God using you. There's a price for God to give you a position in the house of God. And you know what? I'm looking for obedient servants. I'm not looking for someone I've got to try to compel them. Oh, would you please do this? Because I've learned when I was instructed by my bishop to do the carpet, instructed to take people to California, I learned when I did it with a good attitude, God always blossomed more. But those that complained and murmured and talked about getting there, nowhere, because God will not bless a heart unless it's obedience. We are living in a rebellious generation. People are lawless today. People don't respect laws, and it's going to get worse. Listen, all authority, Romans 13, is from God, the Bible says. Amen. And people can misuse authority, and God will hold them accountable. But you don't throw out the laws because of that. You see, we're living in a time where people submit to no one, just like the book of Judges. I'm submitted to my bishop. I've been submitted to them for years, and I've been nothing but blessed. I've been corrected. I've been encouraged. I've been blessed, because I didn't give them a hard time. Amen. Three elements about truth: wisdom, instruction, and the third thing is understanding. We need to understand not only God, we need to understand ourselves. We need to understand the hour we're living in. We need to understand the accountability factor that all of us must appear before Christ to give an account what I did. And I'll give an account of my words. I'll give an account of my attitudes. I'll give an account if I was willing. I'll give an account. And you know what? God is so gracious. He says, if you give a cup of water, I'm going to reward you for it. So listen, if we get the right attitude and understand there's philosophies of this world that are lawless, rebellious, and they can get into believers. I've seen believers say some things that, you know what? I'm like, my goodness, I could go to a bar and hear that type of talk. It doesn't sound like Christ to me. Doesn't sound like humility to me. So Paul said, they changed the truth of God into a lie by the truth. Ask God to search you. God, I don't want to believe anything because somebody said it. I want the truth. What is the truth about this? And with that, God will give you wisdom, instruction, and understanding. I don't want to waste my life walking around. I don't understand. I don't understand what's happening. I want to know, is this an attack from hell? Is this, I'm just fatigued out? Is just this something I bought, something I heard someone else said, I haven't researched it? I don't want to live my life in a fog. I don't want to live my life on the prejudices of others, preconceived ideas of others. I don't want to live my life on someone else's opinions. What is the truth about this? And when you and I have that, then we're going to go giant steps into God, and God will see that we love truth. You see, when you love truth, you love Jesus because He is the truth. Amen. We live in a philosophy, the Stoics, Epicureans, we live in a combination of that, and people are pulled to the right and to the left, and you know, they don't even realize that one step either way they could be into eternity. So Paul said this, he said they tried to change the truth into a lie, but you know what? God is not mocked. He's not mocked because people try to change the truth. Buy the truth, buy it. It's an exchange program. If I'm proud, I need to buy the truth and say, God, I'm proud, I need humility. If I'm slack in the things of God, I say, God, you know, you need to help me. The truth is I'm slack. God, you know, it's hard for me to take instruction. God, help me to be pliable so that you can use me in a great capacity. Buy the truth. Don't sell it. Pray for wisdom. Pray for understanding. And pray for instruction. As we said Sunday morning, Eli, the heir of the lamp of God, went out. He had been a priest, high priest. But God bypassed him because he no longer believed in morality. He let his sons do prostitution in the temple. He no longer believed that there was an absolute truth. He had a standard he had to stand by. And because of that, God says, well, you know what? I'm going to find a truth seeker. I'm going to find little Samuel. Listen, God will bypass me if I don't love truth. God will bypass me if I can't find wisdom. God will bypass me. He doesn't need me. I need God. I said, he doesn't need me. I need God. If God needed me, then he wouldn't be God because he'd have a need. I get to be honored to be used by him. But I'm very replaceable. And I realize this, if I don't cling to the truth, if I don't pray for wisdom, I could be foolish. If I don't pray for instruction, I could be rebellious. And if I don't pray for understanding, I could be confused. So the Bible says here that two philosophies have invaded our earth. But Paul said, truth is going to prevail. Put the belt of truth on. Buy that truth. God, I'm holding on to the truth. I don't care what circumstances say. I don't care what the virus says. I don't care what injustice says. I don't care, Lord, what people are saying, because you said you're going to work this together for my good. That's the truth. You said you hold me in the palm of your hand. That's the truth. You said that you judge the nations. You said to Israel, get ready to meet thy God, O Israel. I'm holding on to your truth, and I'm holding on to this truth, Jesus, that you said you'd finish the work in me. Because our greatest battles are not with the devil. Our greatest battles are deep insecurities. Our greatest battles are deep things in us that are unanswered. Our greatest battles are insecurities. And can I talk to people, relate to people? Are people talking? Things inside of us are our greatest battles. But you know what Jesus does? He allows the truth to come. He allows us to be healed. He allows us to get free of hate. He allows us to get free of prejudice. He allows us to enter into the truth that all men are created in the image of God. And how I treat someone is more important than what I do for God. So Solomon said, buy the truth. You know, it's like going to the store. Some things are expensive. How many know some things are expensive? Macaroni and cheese dinners, when I was growing up, used to be $4 for $1. I remember that. Now there ain't no $4 for $1. You get those cheap ones. It's about that much macaroni in it. But anyway, some things are expensive. If you go to the store and you want to buy ribeye, fresh ribeye, that's expensive. If you want to buy lobster, that's expensive. And you know what else is expensive, Pastor Deb? Those king crab legs, which I love, them big things. Man, those things are like $30 a half a pound or something. I just laugh when I go by there. I go, really? Who buys that stuff? And if you buy it, don't be offended. Amen. I'd like to buy it because we love those. But some things are expensive. And you know, sometimes it's expensive and it takes time to reach down into the understanding of my own existence. Have I been really healed from the sexual abuse when I was little? Have I really been healed from the abortion? Have I really been healed from the divorce? And sometimes we're not aware that God's trying to get down in there because there's a few things down there not totally well. And thank God for the Holy Spirit, for the candle of God, that God will show us that I still want you to be healed in that. You still feel guilty, which you shouldn't feel guilty. But philosophies, they cannot heal anyone. They cannot heal you and I because there's no forgiveness there. There's no mercy there. So when I buy the truth, sometimes it is expensive to research my own heart and mind and motives and intent. Sometimes it is to get rid of something I believed for a while, even about myself. And after years, I realized that was so wrong. That's called surrender. Fresh surrender to God. I never want to come to the place where I don't value surrender. I mean, I surrender to God daily. God, if I mess up and I mess up, there's nobody perfect here. I surrender to God. Say, okay, help me through this thing. And I stop blaming the devil half as much as I used to. And I start looking inside. Paul said, the thing I like to do, it's the thing I hate, the thing I want to do, who's going to deliver me from this thing? He says, I see another warring in my members. When I should do good, I don't do good. Because he doesn't do good because he's not thinking good in that area. And our problem is what we think about and speak really dictates our past. And it dictates our future. So Paul says, I haven't arrived because there's still a war. While you and I are in the flesh, we will war in the flesh. You might have days that you're singing through the tulips and the glory of God comes, and the next day wake up and you feel like running out of town. And your flesh feels like it's no, I mean, I'm telling you, there's a battle. But I always come back to the truth of this. Jesus, you died for me. Jesus, I want to be with you for eternity. Let me finish this work and go home to be with you. I'm not building my kingdom here. I don't need another house. My desire, Jesus, is like David's. One thing have I desired, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and to behold your beauty and to inquire in your temple. You know what? My life here is temporary. Your life is temporary. We should every day. Paul said, I desire to be with Christ, but it's more needful for me to stay. He said, I'm staying only because God wants to use me. And I say that I'm only here to do God's will. Woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. I'm not here for any other reason. If God decides my time is up, amen, I'll be gone, and so will you. So what are we going to do during this time? We're going to resist the Epicureans and the Stoics, and we're going to help those that are bombarded by that philosophy, and we're going to speak the truth in love to them. And we're going to pray for wisdom, instruction, and understanding. And we're going to see God grow us individually and grow this congregation. People have left and said the church will never be the same here. People have left and said there's something wrong with this church. Well, I hope they're ready to answer before God, because it's not my work, it's His work. And if we think we can speak against God's work and God doesn't hear it nor hold us accountable, we've not read our Bible. I don't criticize any pastor. I don't criticize any ministry. The other day I was at Home Depot and someone came up and started talking about Joel Osteen, how much money, all this and all this and all this and all this. You know, I just was so greedy. I got to go. You know, really, get over it. Do you even tithe? So don't be bringing up someone else's blessing. Because if we think we have the right to criticize another brother or sister, we've not read our Bible. But you know, this world, it's full of criticism. 90% of the news is attack. Attack this party, attack that party, attack this one, attack that one. This one no good. I can't even stand watching it anymore. And I don't want to. It's attack, attack, attack. And not everybody's telling the truth. Lies, lies. So as we understand that the truth of God has been trying to change into a lie. And one of the biggest ones, and I'm going to stop with this, is that man can live without God. No, we can't. No, we can't. We just see nations and peoples that are living without God, and they're destroying the earth all around the world. Rulers all through the generations and ages, when they became the absolute dictator, killed. Over in Russia, Stalin, what was it, 45 million people he had killed and starved. I mean, it's amazing to think that the church has been given the banner of truth and the torch of truth, not the nations, the church, the only institution that can come against the gates of hell. And I want to tell you, the gates of hell are coming against everybody. We, as the people of God, have got to know the truth from the lie. Because the devil, he can't kill you, but he can lie to you. Two things, and I'm done. The biggest way the devil lies to you, first of all, he lies about yourself. You're no good. You can't make it. No one likes you. Second thing, he lies to you about other people. Well, they don't like you, blah, 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 blah. You see, those are the lies of the devil. But you know what? When you have the truth, even though it looks like that might be happening, there's one that loves you. There's one that doesn't ignore you. There's one that doesn't reject you. There's one that you can talk to anytime, any moment. And you and I will suffer rejection. Not everybody's going to like us. Not everybody's going to like you, like me. You will suffer persecution. Men will say, I don't want to be with you. But there's someone that won't do that. Paul said at the end of his life, all those in Asia have left me. All the churches and all the fellowships and all the prophecy he prophesied over people, all the elders he raised up. He's in prison and they were afraid. He said, they've all left me. All of his life's work. I can't even imagine that. All of his life's work. They've all left me. He's in a cell dying. He said, is there any way you can come, Timothy, and bring me a cloak? It's cold here. There's a price for the truth. Be a person of truth. Love the truth. Buy the truth. Walk in wisdom, instruction, and understanding. And together, we can do this thing. The Epicureans and the Stoics, they cannot bring a team together. I'm looking for team players. You know, I played enough basketball and football in high school to recognize people that are team players and people that aren't. And many times, quarterbacks and the captain of the basketball, you know, they weren't team players. They wanted all the glory. Can I say this? God's looking for team players. Because listen, nobody's better than anybody else. But God does have the right who decide to be the captain of the ship. And if one day you want to be a captain of a ship, you have to do someone else's vision to get your own vision. You might have that. Don't try to bypass it. But let God do a work of grace in you. If the Rock Church of Petersburg, if we're going to do the will of God, we've got to be team players. We might not vote the same. We might not dress the same. But if we are not a team, we'll just kind of hang around till Jesus comes. We've got to learn to prefer one another and love one another and come together with that anointing Psalm 133 says. I look for team players because team players have a spirit about them that people that aren't team players do not have. Life's too short. My time is too valuable to try to build with people that are going to fight against me. Or it might not be your time to be in position, but you're going to have to learn like I did sometimes just to give it to God in prayer and do the will of God. Amen. Father, we thank you tonight that your truth is going to prevail. Lord, you didn't send us to this house just to hang around. You're building a team. You're building a team that will find their destiny. Some will be promoted more than others. Some will be promoted to positions. Some will have a new anointing. Sadly, some will never be a part of a team. But Lord, I pray you would send laborers who have a heart to build the team and not to fight. I pray you would not bring those with their own vision here. Lord, if need be, they can go start their own work. Lord, I pray those who will be part of this house that you, because this is your work, and your destiny. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Give God a shout. Hallelujah. I know it's a little bit of meat there tonight. Hallelujah. But I tell you what, we need the truth. Love you. We'll see you Sunday. Don't forget the offer.